Now, more of Afternoon Drive, presented by Superbook Sports on Mile High Sports.
And welcome on back into the program, Afternoon Drive, right here on Mile High Sports Radio. Anilo Pirro, Cody Rourke. Hope you guys are doing well out there. 303-831-1340. If you want to get involved with today's Sports Talk Radio program and the big news of the day, not the best news, let's bring in the man himself now. Drew Kreisman covers the Rockies for us at milehighsports.com. Kind enough to give us a few minutes of his time. 72.2%, 11 votes shy. Todd Helton will not be enshrined in the Hall of Fame this go around, but it does look like he's trending in the right direction. Drew, how you feeling? Your initial thoughts and reaction?
Yeah, you know, this is it's kind of weird, Anil. I don't... a mixture of feelings. One, this is a not to be that guy in this moment, but this is basically what I expected. We did, if I may, cheap plug and shout out to our guy Michael, all work around on the YouTube page for Mile High Sports, put up a little top 10 for the reasons why I believe Todd Helton belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I say right at the beginning of that I believed he was going to fall just short this year. And so part of the reason for putting that up was like, you know, here are some of the things that people need to be a little bit more educated about. That said, like you said, he's got all the momentum in the world. He's got more goes at this thing. It's not like, you know, that last ballot for Larry Walker where we were really hanging on, and if he didn't get in, it was going to be, you know, so heartbreaking or whatever. So it's kind of a letdown today because the public ballots were so encouraging. And while, you know, a month ago I thought, he's going to get 70%, and he'll get in next year. You started to see some of the public numbers and the momentum he had. Man, this might actually be the year. Like, this could really happen now, and this might end up being a big day for celebration. I woke up this morning thinking, this might be a great day for Rockies fans, man, and now it's just another, one of those. But he's going to get in. In fact, he'll almost certainly get in next year, and that's encouraging.
Yeah, and look, the Rockies fan can use some good fortune right now. We'll end this interview with some thoughts about their upcoming season. You wrote a great story for us at MileHighSports.com. Before we ridicule the voting process, it is bittersweet. I mean, he jumps from 52% to 72.2%. So, you know, a pretty significant increase year to year. And I think I agree with you. You know, as you alluded to, I do think he'll eventually get in, most likely next year, only 11 votes shy. So let's focus on that, though. What do you think led to the increase in votes jumping from 52% to the 72% threshold?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of this is the work that has been done over the years on the Larry Walker case. You know, we basically put a solid decade in. It's funny, I think back on it, I put so much time and effort. I wrote so many articles. I did so much talking to people in and around the game about Larry Walker during that time. And I've done maybe a third of that for Todd Helton. And it's not because I believe he's, a third as deserving or anything like that. I think he's just as deserving. But I think just that early groundwork had to be done. You know, we really had to talk off the ears of a lot of these national writers and guys that would come in with their teams and say, okay, explain this to me. And a lot of that work was done with Larry Walker, unpacking it, and people understanding concepts like wins above replacements being more and more of a comfortable feeling for baseball fans and baseball writers, and understanding, yes, Coors Field is a little bit weird, but that doesn't mean you throw a guy's entire career out. You know, you've got to put it into a certain amount of context and recognize that not everybody who's come through here has managed to put up the kinds of numbers that Walker and Helton have. They clearly are in a class of their own. And so I think that there's just been an education process over the last decade that Coors Field isn't what people thought it was, especially in the 90s and early 2000s. The advanced metrics stuff. I think the voting electorate has got a little bit younger in the BBWA, which helps with all of those things as well. And so I think Helton is just getting a lot of the leftover goodwill from that, because when you recognize, Larry Walker belongs in, it's hard to make a consistent, logical, objective argument that therefore Helton does. In fact, Scott Rolen getting in. I'm a huge Scott Rolen fan, by the way. Very excited for him. Much deserved congratulations. But there's no logical argument. There's no objective argument that you can make based on any statistic anywhere that says Scott Rolen is a Hall of Famer and Todd Helton isn't. That just doesn't make sense. So I think people are kind of waking up to that and recognizing if you're going to be consistent, if you're going to tell the story of baseball from the last 15 or 20 years, you've got to include Todd Helton.
Yeah, no, I agree. Our guest is Drew Kreisman. You can follow him on Twitter, at Drew Kreisman. Does a great job for us, milehighsports.com. Simple question here. If he had won, which he should have, the 2000 MVP, is he already in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that happened for both of these players is the fact that they were underrated throughout their careers. Helton more than Walker, because Helton spent his entire career in Colorado. I think that's absolutely the case. I think if he had, you know, he came in fifth that year, despite the fact that he was comfortably the wins above replacement leader by a lot over a guy named Barry Bonds, by the way, who also didn't win it. Jeff Kent, it was a weird time for the voting electorate. But, yeah, so there were things like that. I think one of the things that I've seen certain writers come out and say, even in their defense of these ballots where they've maybe filed an empty ballot or only voted for one person, and say things like, there shouldn't be any question, there shouldn't be any debate, I should just hear your name and know that you're a Hall of Famer. But it's like, the problem is Todd Helton wasn't appreciated enough while he was playing. His accomplishments tended to be undercut by people that didn't understand Coors Field, this, that, or the other. The Rockies weren't on TV. His teams weren't very good. There's a lot of reasons why that was the case. The fact of the matter is, you know who you should ask? The pitchers who had to pitch against him during his career.
That's a great point.
I bet you 100% of those guys would vote Todd Helton into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. And the process is just so skewed. As you know, I have some Northeastern ties and all that kind of stuff. And I can admit it, right? I mean, the Northeast bias, in particular, the East Coast New York bias, is just disgusting. I mean, it really is. And I forget the name of the guy, but I mean, he's not the only one. But for you to not have a single name on the ballot, and I there's one guy in particular that, like, he hasn't voted for anybody in 3 years, and the last time he voted was for Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter. Like, that is a disgrace, Drew. Like, I really don't know how else to label it other than a disgrace. And there is something about this system that is completely flawed, because the anonymity aspect of it, the ability to hide behind the shield and all that kind of stuff. Like, if there needs to be pressure to an extent applied on these voters to show their reasoning for why they're voting one way or the other, because if you're going to allow them to hide behind this mask or hide behind the shield or the guild, whatever it might be, you're going to continue to get these bogus ballots, which, you know, sometimes seem to be more so riddled in, you know, personal vendetta or personal vindication as opposed to what should, you know, the right thing to be done.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't see the point of the anonymity of people, you know, not providing a reason for it. I don't even think you should be allowed to submit an empty ballot, honestly, because understand that an empty ballot isn't a neutral ballot. That's a vote against every single person on the ballot. And that is just, so beyond frustrating. The suggestion, and look, I'll admit my own personal bias and what's going on a little bit here as well. This is my era of baseball. This is what I grew up watching. I was just waxing poetic about Scott Rolen a moment ago. And there is a weird, difficult, ugly black mark on this era. And it's very complicated. Everybody has a lot of different feelings on it. Mine are pretty extreme to that. I wouldn't vote for steroid users, but I understand people who are like, it was the era, do what you do. But that's a thing we have to do, right? So what's frustrating to me is that there seems to be this desire to just say, let's not even celebrate this era of baseball at all, because either guys were using, and the only ones who really belong are guys who put up numbers that are just absolutely ridiculous, and we don't want to vote for them anyway, and so let's all fight about that. Or there's this old purity, like the only people that belong are the Yankees that belong alongside Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. And it's like, dude, Scott Rolen, you know, Billy Wagner, Carlos Beltran, Todd Helton, you know, these guys were incredible ballplayers that defined a generation, that made up, you know, my formative years of falling in love with the game. And it seems like there is a block of voters who just want to say, that was all garbage, and want to vote against the entire era, man. And it's hard not to take it personally sometimes. So like, I assume they're not going to do it to guys like Chipper Jones or whatever. I mean, there's a level, right? Mike Piazza right. got in. But still, it's like all these other guys, it's frustrating. And if you haven't watched a baseball game in years, and if you fill out an empty ballot every year, I don't know. I guess I should be careful with the things that I say. But, man, I don't know how that's even allowed. An empty ballot. There is no chance that there are zero people on this Hall of Fame ballot that deserve. Like, how elitist can you be?
Sadly, that is the mentality of some people out there. It's unfortunate, and hopefully there are steps taken in the future to kind of alleviate that process. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think will be the deciding factor that will lead to Todd Helton getting into the Hall of Fame? I mean, obviously, the jump in percentage of votes he got from last year to this year, I mean, is substantial. That's probably got to be one of the most promising things there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that momentum will keep going. I think the fact that a lot of the steroid users have been cleared off the ballot and that argument isn't dominating the headlines so much anymore has allowed people to kind of look in and go, okay, let me spend a little bit of time on Todd Helton's baseball reference page. I mean, it's very good, and it's wild, man. One of the things I said in that video, you know, there are only 18 players in the history of Major League Baseball who have a 300 batting average or better, 400 on base or better, and 500 slugging or better for their careers. Like,
yeah.
If this guy played for any other team, any of the other teams, he'd have been in on the first ballot and have been close to unanimous. If he was a Yankee, it would have been unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. So, you know, I think more people are just digging into it and going, and I think it's a correction of history, man. It goes back to that he wasn't celebrated enough at the time. Because when I talk to people on an individual basis about this, you know, sometimes they come and go, I don't know, man, he doesn't really feel like one of those guys. And I'm just like, what do you think about these statistics? And they're right. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, the Rockies didn't have a guy, they haven't had a guy on base 400 or better for the last three seasons. Todd Helton on base 400 or better for his career.
Right.
It's like 416 on base percent.
Well, and it's one of those situations, Drew, where, and I could speak to this a little bit, right? Because I moved to Colorado when I was in high school, and it was one of those situations, I'm not going to lie, I think it's the fact that he played for the Rockies, as you alluded to, that tends to work against him a little bit. Buried in the Mountain Time Zone, you know, on a team that hasn't been competitive very often, you know, it's usually more of a boom or bust mentality with them. And I remember, like, when I was living and growing up in, you know, Southern California, the whole nine, like, I knew who he was, but, like, I never really considered him to be one of these great players. And then I moved here, and obviously you realize how important he is to the community, just how essential he was to that team. And for the listener out there that maybe is like me, maybe they're not from Colorado, maybe they're more of a casual baseball fan. Look, Larry Walker's in the Hall of Fame representing the Rockies, but for the listener, explain how Todd Helton is Mr. Rocky.
Yeah, that's right, because Walker began his career as an Expo. He ended it as a Cardinal. I think he only had like a third or less than of his at-bats at Coors Field. Todd Helton spent his entire 17-year career with the Colorado Rockies, never wore another uniform. In fact, he famously turned down trades that could have sent him to Boston, where he would have won a World Series ring. But he wanted to stay in Colorado. He chose the Rockies twice, despite the fact that they weren't regularly competitive. And, you know, other people have fairly or not said, I want to go to greener pastures, get me off of this team. You can understand that, but Todd Helton never did. You know, he played through all of it. And another thing that I want to point out that you were getting close to alluding to there is think about a lot of the other great Rockies over the years whose careers were cut short. They could have been great. They were Hall of Fame talents in Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez, but the altitude and the wear and tear and the difficult mental struggle of playing all those games at Coors Field. Larry Walker, again, only had to do that for the middle part of his career. Guys like Dante Bichette or Ellis Burks or Andres Galarraga, who had that kind of talent but never had the longevity. Todd Helton played 17 years in a place that beats you up physically, beats you up mentally, and it's the most difficult team in the world to try to hit the ball on the road, and he was a great consistent hitter, that he had consistency through all of that chaos, that he chose this place, and then he managed to put up the numbers that he did. It's remarkable. Yeah, he really and very truly is. And if you ask Larry Walker, he would tell you, Mr. Rocky is Todd Helton. It's not a debate. It's not a question. That guy is that team.
Yeah. No, well said, Drew Kreisman. Follow him on Twitter, at Drew Kreisman. Does great work for us at MyLifeSports.com. All right, one more before we let you go. Obviously, the big story of the day, Todd Helton is falling just short of being inducted into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, there is a baseball season coming up, and, you know, football season winding down, you know, spring training around the corner as well. It seems like it's just going to be another year of, I don't really know, you know, fun place to go grab a beer, get a hot dog, watch a baseball game along the way. I know you wrote a story for us online at MileHighSports.com. What is there to look forward to for the Rocky fan out there this season, Mile High, with this ball club?
Yeah. The headline for that was, they probably won't be good, but they might be fun.
Might.
I literally had to put the word might in the headline. Actually, I do think that there's a number of young players on this team that are going to be very, very fun to watch. Ezekiel Tovar at shortstop is a Rookie of the Year contender. Like, that's exciting in and of itself. It's been a while since you've had a Rookie of the Year contender for the Rockies, and to have him be right there at, like, shortstop and have that, like, full tool set, right, where he's a great base runner, he's got good speed, he's got good power, he's got great defense, exciting brand of baseball. Similar things where I think we're going to see guys like Michael Tolia and Elias Montero making deeper impacts. I do believe that we will see the major league debut of Zach Veen, who's about as exciting a prospect as you can get. I don't think it's going to be early in the season, but I think we're going to see that this year. So I do think the team is going to struggle to find wins because the pitching is just such a giant, giant mess right now. But from a position player standpoint, you basically have Charlie Blackmon doing his farewell tour, which I'm assuming. And then CJ Cron, who, you know, love or hate how the team has handled him or not traded him, whatever. Great guy, great ball player to watch, right? And then after those two veterans, it's just like open tryouts for a bunch of young dudes. And that's, I think, going to lead to some losses. But also, some of those days where you're out grabbing a beer, you know, having a hot dog at Coors Field, you're going to see some guys become dudes. You know, dudes becoming guys. and that, for me, is always after winning, and maybe even sometimes before winning, that's my favorite part of sports, is when a player shows that they can hang. You know, they go from someone fans have never heard of to someone who starts selling some jerseys. You know, and I think we're going to see some of those guys. We don't always know who they are. Maybe Tolia, maybe Montero, and maybe Riley Pint becomes a thing. You know, what a great story that has been. So, you know, I can't promise you a good season, but maybe some fun.
Yeah, well, I'll be following along. I know I'll see you at the ballpark along the way. And, you know, we'll have a good time with it. Drew Kreisman, follow him on Twitter, at Drew Kreisman, and follow his work, MileHighSports.com. My man. Hopefully we do it again this time next year, but celebrating Todd Helton being the second Rocky elected to the Hall of Fame. Thanks so much for a few minutes.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Neil.
Yes, sir. Oh, it sucks, man. The thing that frustrates me is, like I said, he's going to get in next year. What is the difference? It's gatekeeping.
Yeah, you know, have a tomato today, have a potato tomorrow.
Well said. Well said. All right, let's hit a break. And let's not have an apple, but let's talk about Eli Apple and the clownery that he has been going on with social media.
I can't even say what I want
to
say.
It is. Is he on your on-site list?
Dude is a slapstick, man.
Yeah, it's bad.
What a clown.
It's bad. We'll cycle around some thoughts when we come back right here on Afternoon Drive. Anilo Pirro, Cody Rourke, Danny, and Logan back in a few.
There's no crying in baseball!